Once again, this is another segment of Dropped with Livonia Mallory of 105.3 FM, the sanctuary for independent media, right here in Troy, New York. I have a very special guest on the line, a Mr. Alton Bear Acker. I'm so glad you came on to talk with us today. Listen, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I've managed to reach just a couple months before 77. And I was a teacher all of my life. And I really went in for 4 years in the Air Force. I went in high school and to junior college. And after a couple of years there, I couldn't really figure out which direction I was going. So to keep from getting drafted, I went in the most peaceful service I could pick. And after 4 years in there, I knew I wanted to teach. So then it was a matter of putting myself through first degree to get qualified, and then in a certain amount of time, finish a second degree or an equivalent number of graduate hours to keep my licenses. So I taught up until about 2006, I think it was. I did it full-time. A four-year degree, I transferred the stuff from junior college, and I managed to finish my undergrad degree at Western Kentucky University in 3 years. And then I stopped by to see my old teacher mentor, and he said, well, why don't you teach? I've got an opening in Woodshop. Why don't you teach there and see where that goes for you?
So tell my listeners how you actually end up getting into making guitars. And so you're the editor of the Guitar Magazine and the Association of String Instrument Artisans. So that's all about guitar making, or at least the making of stringed instruments. How did you end up doing that? And how has that changed the trajectory of your life?
Well, that's pretty interesting. Well, I played music with my family. About 1956, I started to play some on stage, and my uncles were just, they didn't think it was right to do it. It was family music, but I took it out, and I did that for up until about 3 or 4 years ago. So that was over 50 years. But what happened was I played left hand, and at the time, the instruments that the major manufacturers were making, it was a surcharge of 15% more of the total price for being made left hand. I had the wood background in making furniture, and I said, I will just make them for myself then. And I started to do that, and probably it was 1977 or 78 that I started making instruments for other people. It was a couple of years out of that one of the people that played music on the circuit was a mother pearl cutter. He cut all sorts of stuff for people, Martin guitar, and for their instruments they were making. And he said, I'd like to put you up for executive director of the Association of Stringed Instrument Artisans, which has the acronym ASIA. Also, along with that, you'd be editor of Guitar Maker Magazine, which is the quarterly publication. So I got it, and I just have rounded out. This is my 11th year. I'm starting doing a symposium for the association. We sponsor a symposium, and we have it at East Stroudsburg University in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. It's 5 days of shops where people learn from some of the best that come, and they can just talk to them. They tell them everything that they want to know, you know, and it's been great for them to unlock the secrets. They're available to these beginning neophytes. And then that goes with speakers and work. You know, there's a lot of vendors there. So it is 5 days symposium year, which June of 2019. It's 12th through the 16th, I think, something like that.
Who would you say is the most famous guitar maker that attends your Pennsylvania event? The top three. Who would you say are the top three names that come to that event to share their knowledge?
So Martin Guitar is there, and their custom shop comes too. Some of the best of the independent luthiers, Dana Bourgeois Guitars out of Maine. You know, I'm fortunate I had Dana Bourgeois down to speak. But Martin Guitar has been out there so long.
What is going to happen with the luthier industry over the next, let's say, 5 years? I mean, there are a lot of really good guitar makers out there, and we've had a few of them on the show.
People who are working very steadily and are in demand and ship off guitars to different places to be. One of the things that's making it hard, not only are not growing up with the skills, like it used to be in Martin Guitar, you had to have somebody to work there. You had to be, your father or grandfather had to be working at Martin. And usually it was not unusual for them to have three generations of the family working at Martin Guitar. And those people were brought into that type of training and existence. But it really isn't one of those things where, I mean, kids don't go out and, you know, build tree forts and, you know, fabricate things. You know, one of the things that's making another part of luthery is the availability of foreign species like rosewoods and mahogany, and the CITES treaty, which took effect 1968. They banned Brazilian rosewood. They couldn't use that anymore. And then the Lacey Act, which has been around a long while, but the Fish and Wildlife people got into that and redid it, and there are severe penalties for bringing in woods that are not licensed. And there are a lot of species that every once in a while there'll be another species of either mahogany or rosewood or something of the effect. Ebony is another one. Still can get ebony, but not all ebony.
What you're saying is the acquisition of good quality wood that's suitable for making instruments, guitars, or any other stringed instrument, those species of wood is becoming more and more difficult to obtain?
Well, yes, you can still get Honduras mahogany, and you can get, you know, I don't know how much longer you can get Spanish cedar, and you can get spruce. Spruce is largely, I mean, you can get German spruce, and you can get stuff from up in British Columbia. They're still cutting spruce there, and then down, you know, Appalachian spruce down the East Coast and all the way up into upper New York. And that's some of the best spruce for the soundboards. But the problem is that you can still get these woods, but you can't export them. You can sell them inside the United States, but you can't export them. And it's very difficult and costly to try to export an instrument. And there were cases of people having, when this Lacey Act got energized, and, you know, they can fine you up to $250,000, which really does a number. That's what happened at Gibson. They had rosewood fingerboards that they'd gotten. Martin stays out of problems because they license. They get the paperwork to cut the wood where it is. They get the paperwork to ship it. They have the paperwork to import it when it gets here. And then without all of that stuff, it's never legal. It can never be legal wood.
Now, what is Lacey Act? What does that stand for?
At the Lacey, L-A-C-E-Y. It's about 100 years old or better.
With the few minutes that we have left, is there the possibility of guitar makers, stringed instrument makers, artisans, using reclaimed wood to make guitars.
If you don't have the paperwork, you know, when we had the feds come in and do a 2.5 hour workshop, some of the guys that were at symposium were kind of spooked because they had wood that was not, they'd had it so long, there was no paperwork on it. You didn't have to. You just bought it. You could do it internationally.
Alton Bear Acker, Executive Director of Asia, Association of Stringed Instrument Artisans, and editor of Guitar Magazine, thank you so much for sharing so much information with us about luthiers, about the wood, and all of the issues and challenges that the musicians have to push through to continue the art of making guitars. Thank you for joining us on 105.3 FM, the Sanctuary for Independent Media. This is another episode of Drop the Mic with Livonia Mallory. Thank you.
Hey, bye-bye.